things of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
O life, down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the life in your word. Let each of us know why we're here today. We're not here, Father, to be entertained. We're here because, Father, we're desperate people. And our desperation is for change, to be more like Jesus. Help this, Father, in our lives, we ask, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, I'm going to give a teaching today. You know, we're looking over the faith teaching, the deeper life, and I want to exhort today in faith. As you know, we don't go long before we come back to faith. Why it is we believe, we need to be always encouraged in these areas. And we have a title today for our teaching: faith must be the influencing force. Faith must be the influencing force. Now, we may not always be conscious of that. We don't always get up every day and say, oh, faith is going to be the influencing force today in my life. It doesn't quite work like that. But as we address these subjects, these are great opportunities of which to reevaluate, of to take before the Lord, and so that he can work these affections within our heart. This is how we grow. This is how we encourage you to grow in the faith. And so faith must be that influencing force, because without faith, we're told, it is impossible to please God. So it has to be a force. It has to be there. It's the grace and mercy of God. So often, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit, there is so much that is there that we can obtain, grasp, and experience. The problem is, we don't always believe, or we don't always want, because sometimes we're going through a trial, or I don't feel like it, but there is so much through the Holy Spirit, and we've just sung it, it flows through us like a river, reaching out into the world. It is there at our disposal. And we're not always aware that faith is the influence, it is the force. The believing in the promises of God's word, believing in his word, is a force. And we're going to look at this in a minute. In fact, it is very, very powerful. And with that introduction, we're going to look at a scripture today and a verse which is found in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, which all of you know very, very well. But I wonder if we really know what is actually entailed in this. It's always good to labour sometimes over a scripture, and I make no apology for that. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, and here it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." So our lives and our walk with the Lord are telling us where we are in the faith. If we really are walking close with the Lord, It is telling us where we are today in the faith. And our whole walk of this day will tell us and show us whether we are trusting God totally or not. I believe the faith walk, this whole walk, as we are hearing and God encouraging us, is to be taken daily. Yesterday is gone. It is history. But we can learn from history. If you had a bad day yesterday or you missed the mark yesterday, then that can be a means of you why the Lord still tarries by faith to walk this day and not repeat it by the mercy and grace of God. That is how we can learn. With regard to the future, we don't know that. And we're not really that interested in that sense, other than we walk this day with the Lord by faith. This is a great deliverance from anxiety, from fear, from planning, from all those things that the world is so obsessed and possessed with. It is actually such a great deliverance to the believer. Why am I stressing this? Because the scriptures tell us we could well be with the Lord tonight. Your very soul could be required of you tonight. And somehow we sort of look at that and think, oh, well, you know, I'm still young and I've still got, you know, 50 years ahead of me or 20 years ahead of me, whatever, you know. Yeah, you know, so. It's true. We do not know. That is the point. And that is why we take each day by faith and live for the Lord for this day, now, this moment. That is what's so wonderful about the Christian faith and walk. Religious faiths don't think like that because they're ever trying to work and please God by works, by bondage. And so this is such a great deliverance set on us. Now we're going to look at this in two sections. So we're going to look at under the first one. Are we dependent on God's word for faith? Or is it just a means of comfort and inspiration? Now, the word of God, of course, is a comfort. And we indeed are to be inspired by the word of God. We know that. And that is important. But is that a means of where I'm just depending on that? In other words, I'm going to listen to the word today because it's comfort to me and it's inspiration to me. And that is true. That is true. Or are we going to also listen to the word so that we can experience what God spoke to us through prophecy today? Because I was listening to it, even though I was just the mouthpiece, because God was not saying that for no reason. When God speaks to us, he speaks for a very specific reason. And he said that we can experience his presence. So, that is going to come by the word of God, as we listen to the word. And what he wants of us is to believe that word, i.e. mixing faith with that which we hear. Now we may well be inspired by that and we may well be comforted by that. But the question is today, am I going to experience what God says is for me and my brothers and sisters today in this assembly? That is the question. Am I going to go away with an expectation in my heart that God is going to bless me with his presence in the way that he knows how to reveal himself to us? And that can be numerous. Is that really what we want? Because it's certainly what I want. If God speaks and says that is for us, something within you, if you're hungry for God and walking close with him, then I want more. Because if God cannot give more, nobody else can. We know there is a price to pay, of course. But if God cannot give it, no one else in the universe can. So it's more of him. And so as we take of this word, and we've already just started to read to you what it is, it's powerful, it's living, it's a sharp two-edged sword, and we're going to look at that in a minute as to how that works. So it's a comfort, it's an inspiration. But are we dependent just on that? Or is there something more to the fact that by listening, hearing, faith comes that will move God, move his hand, because it's according to his word? God is bound, is faithful to his word. And to every need and to every situation, he's absolutely bound to it. But we know that we have to meet that. And he even gives us the wherewithal in which to meet that. It's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's called the Spirit of God who works with us, bringing us to the level where we meet those requirements. And we know that. We know if there's unbelief there, fear there, then God's got to work with me in which to deliver me so faith can flow, as we sung today. And he's doing that. So with that, so what is our approach? What is our attitude then when we read and hear the word of God? What are we expecting? What are you expecting today in this meeting and those online? What is your expectation? Well, only you know that, if you have that expectation. Maybe you haven't thought about having expectations when we come to the house of God. Well, it certainly should be expecting to see the presence and the glory of the Lord. That certainly should be the first thing, after all, because that is the means of our fellowship, our coming together. So that should be an expectation, because he's expecting to see us where two or three are gathered together in his name. Somehow we don't think about that. It's always the other way around. But he does. So our expectation is to see God, that we can, all of us, experience his presence and move into his presence, as he said today in prophecy. So there's something corporately we can believe for. You know, because that's what these meetings are about. So that's something to expect, as well as so many other things. Some are expecting to be raised up and healed. Some are expecting, you know, their son, daughter to come through for salvation. There's just so many expectations that we have. And life throws up those expectations. Trials do it. You know, we're going through a trial and I'm just believing, expecting, I will come out of this. And we do. So there's so many expectations. Life has its way of amplifying them. Well, going back to Hebrews chapter 4, it says, and I just want to, as we open up here, he says, for the word of God is living, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, it pierces, it divides divisions, it divides the soul and the spirit, joints, marrow, and it discerns our thoughts and our hearts. That's fundamentally what it means there, it's what it's saying. Coupled with that, we'll just look at another scripture. In Psalm 107, verse 20. 107 and verse 20, which says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. That implies to us the Word of God that is living. It is alive today. It means he sends his word, he will heal, he will deliver them from destruction. In other words, deliver them from themselves. Man will destroy himself without God in his life. And he says, I'll deliver them from that. So that is what he means by this. You see? Now, faith to overcome needs that revelation and that experience. We need that revelation and experience that the Word of God is alive, is real, it lives, it is my experience. And that is why we continue to overcome, that's why we continue to meet together, and all those things, because it is alive in my life. I know that when I read this, this is a living now revelation. And the overcomers have to experience that if we are indeed to be overcomers. I know that might sound elementary, but we're looking today that faith must be the influencing force if we're to really make that last lap of this race that we're in, because we are, all of us, in a race. And it's a revelation and it's an experience. That is, it's alive today. It's powerful because it can't be changed. And so when we read these words here, the Word of God is living and powerful, so it not only lives, but it lives with power. And the idea of this is it means it is so powerful that it cannot be changed and will not be changed. It is forever resolute. It is forever settled in heaven. And the reason why God puts that there is because he knows that man, preachers, try to change this revelation to suit people who are hearing it, or to suit a situation. It's called compromise. And history, church history, is full over the century of compromise. But he says, I'm not changing it. God's word does not change. So it is living and it is powerful. It's powerful because it cannot be changed and will not be changed. It's powerful because of its sharpness. It's powerful because we war against the powers of darkness. And this is why Satan will challenge you with God's word and promise. Jesus had to go through it, through the wilderness, to experience how sharp that two-edged sword is. And he's going to allow you to go through your wilderness temptations, experiences, and come out the other end, because you will have experienced this word, this sharp sword that can wield against the powers of darkness. This is why the church is so ignorant and blind about spiritual warfare, because she refuses to go into that wilderness experience where to be tried and tested, because that is the only way you know this word and the power of this word. How will you know otherwise? So they're all while running away. Any trial that comes, they run away. Where do they run to? The arm of the flesh. That's what we mean by running away. They don't actually go and run in a cupboard under the stairs. They might want to do that. But it means that they're running away, they're compromising. Oh, we'll go to the arm of the flesh, it's easier. You see? They don't say it like that, but that's how it is. So they never know the power of God's word in their lives. And they don't really know whether it's actually living or not, because it's not a living experience always to them. They go as far as John 3:16, get saved, and end there. Or they might approach the baptism of the Holy Spirit, only to find themselves as many of them land up in these shepherdship churches, being controlled by a man instead of the headship of Christ. And they're going back to denominationalism. Nothing's new, as we know. All roads lead to Rome, Babylon, of which Jesus said, come out from among it and be separate. Touch it. Don't touch it anymore. It's unclean. It's harlotry, you see. But we know that. That's another story. So here are these words that come out. It's living. It's powerful. And so that is your experience. Yes, of course, there's a battle. We know at times the enemy doesn't give up, let go right until the very end. And God's permitting that for a reason, because he's teaching you something. And you know, when you come through, you say, praise God, but what a battle that was. Oh, boy, you know. But praise God, it came through, the Lord was faithful, that word is living and alive today. You see, there's your testimony. And some of us are saying amen to that because you know exactly what I'm talking about. Why do you know that? Because it's your experience and nothing can take that away. That is part of your influencing and encouraging the power of the living word of God, which it is. But we have to go through these experiences. There's no other way, you know. Sometimes you really want to help a brother or sister, and you know, you want to really, you don't want them to have to go through that. But you have to stand back and God says, I'm sorry, they've got to go through it. You've gone through it, they've got to go through it. But what you can do is pray and intercede. Stand with them that their faith will fail not. See? So, you know, God's in control with all of this. So that's the first aspect of faith must be the influencing force. Secondly, we see it deals with soul and spirit. Now, we've got some interesting things come up here. It says that God's word, which is living and powerful, we then are shown that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So God's word is a sword and it has two edges, the number of witness. And so the sword that wields itself through has both sides to it, both equally sharp, which is the witness of God's word dealing in a situation. So this word, the word we're hearing today, whatever it is a word that witnesses. It witnesses to God because it is his word, and it witnesses to us, which means that both are in operation. You're not just left on your own believing, experiencing this word. This word is being witnessed to us, and it takes two to have to witness. So here is this idea of this sharp sword cutting, dividing. And it is not something that he just does willy-nilly, but it is done with a witness. This is what I'm going to do. It's the same in a relationship. It's the same in a marriage. Two of you agreeing. This is why we all agree in the body of Christ. Two of you agreeing because that makes a balance, so that it is a witness. It's not just somebody doing it out of their own will or power. I'm going to do my own thing. No, we do it together. And so there's the witness, the two-edged sword. We're going to do it together. It means that I am agreeing with the Lord through his word, and he's agreeing with me that it needs to be done. What needs to be done? The dividing, the changing, and so forth. God isn't going to touch you unless you ask him. He is a gentleman. He is not going to do it. This is why you can crucify him. You can blaspheme him. You can swear at him. You can do all those things. And you find he doesn't retaliate. Until we agree with him. How can two agree unless they walk together? The scriptures tell us. So this is where we get this idea of the two-edged sword. He is doing that cutting, that working, because you have settled it with him. You've come into agreement through relationship, through prayer, and so forth. And now that sword can do it. And it's two-edged, both agreeing in the cutting and dividing asunder. And what does a sword do? It pierces, divides. A sword pierces. It can make that sharp incision. That's the nature of a sword. For a reason. It has to be sharp. It has to go straight in and do it quickly. That's why they fought with swords. It's a fatal instrument. Straight in, quick, and it deals with the enemy. You see, unlike using an axe or other instruments and so forth. So that is the nature of what it does. And that is what the Word of God does. The Word of God, if we yield it over to the Spirit, we come prayed up, we're here today, we're allowing the Holy Spirit to do, to have his way. We may sit here and suddenly, without any warning, the Word of God, that sharp-edged sword, has gone straight in. Where did that come from? You weren't ready for that. Straight in. God used that to deliver you, to set you free. This is why this word, the deeper life, is a deliverance message, because of what this sword does. You're not prepared for it, but he is, and you've agreed, and he then goes straight in with that sword, and it's a quick work. That is the nature of it. Piercing, dividing, and we note here, it's interesting, it says soul and spirit. Soul and spirit. In other words, it's dealing with the flesh, the body. It's dealing with the spiritual side of us, which must be influenced. The Holy Spirit must always be the influence, the force in our life. And in doing so, he has with that sword to divide and come in with the dealing with the soul and the spiritual side of you and I. You see, the flesh acts on what is influencing in the soul and spirit. So whatever is not right within the heart, as we call it, the flesh will act it. It's simply the instrument of fulfilling what is in the heart. So if there's unbelief in the heart, then that unbelief comes out, and it often comes out with the confession. So we hear ourselves saying, you know, I'm not well today, I'm going down with the flu, I've had this before, and I'll be laid up for a week, and so on and everything. Listen to it. I know we laugh at it, but we do, we say it. It comes out. Why is it coming up? Because that is what you're still believing. So something has to change. And that sword does it. And that sword is only going to do it if we both agree. Two-edged. Okay, Lord, I heard that come out. That is unbelief. That is wrong. Use that sword. Root it out. Because I want my confession to line up with your word. Which he's working with all of us. That's why we're overcomers. He's working on your faith, your confession, your belief. And we confess, you know, we hear it. I mean, we can all speak positively now because we're all in the environment. Mm-hmm. We're all here. It's when you get out at work. It's when you're amongst them. And they're all talking about this and talking about that. Or it's when you're driving behind the car and somebody shoots across you quickly, whatever it is. That's when that's where it's being tested. It's not tested here today. It's tested out there. And you hear it come out. And that's why he draws us together. That's why he's giving us that word. And that's why he's going to use that sword and string and deal with that unbelief. So that you can harmonize. You are believing that by his stripes I was healed at Calvary. It's there. It's your confession. See, faith is not trying to believe. Faith is not trying to act. Oh, I'm going to look for an opportunity to act my faith. Oh, we heard some of that years ago. And to a certain extent, there is some truth to it, but it's not even that. If faith is to walk on water because you are to walk on water, it will do so. It will happen. You move into it. It's not something you analyze. Should I? Shouldn't I? Yes, we are tested with faith. And that is why God shows us whether we are or we're not in faith. And we know what to do with that. And if we're not in faith, if there's areas where I'm not in faith, I can't settle with that. I am not happy with that. I can't pretend with that. I have got to ask God, Lord, I failed here. You revealed unbelief. I'm asking you with that sword, with your word, with the Holy Spirit, root that out of me. And you've agreed. And in his time, with that two-edged sword, the sword of the Spirit, he'll wield it. He's faithful to. He will. And he does it every time. And where does he do it? He, as it says here, in the soul and the spirit. The soul and spirit. Because you are a spiritual being. That is what you are. These bodies that we're in, they're dying. They're decaying. This is not going to enter into heaven. It's not fit enough. It's not good enough. You know? I know we look after ourselves and everything, and so we should. But it's not good enough for God. We're going to be raised up a new creation. So we are spiritual beings. And this is why he's doing a spiritual work like he does through the Holy Spirit, you see. So it's vital for us to really, really understand this. And so you see, where he's influencing us, he's working with the soul and the spirit. He's working with man's tongue, man's confession, pride, whatever it is. He's humbling us. He's working with the perverse in spirit. All these things, cutting them, rooting them out. Because he's not going to have it in his presence. And he's the only one that can deliver us and do that. Amen. You see?
Thank you, Jesus.
And he cuts that with that sword.
Yes, he does. Thank you, Jesus.
And he turns us into meek, obedient people by the word of God. Now, the idea of joints and marrow. This verse is dealing, in a sense, with an inward moral and spiritual being of man when we're dealing with joints and marrow. So he's dealing with us in a moral and spiritual way, that we are upright that we glorify God, that we walk holy, separate lives. This is what that sword is doing, in a sense. But why joints and marrow? I mean, I was thinking about this. Why joints and marrow? You know, well, joints and marrow, in many ways, when you're thinking about joints, you're thinking about bone. And when we think about bone, we're thinking about our frame. Your bone structure is your frame. That is what you are. And so it means that he's dealing with the entirety of you. Even, yes, this walk in this life, even though we're getting older and these bodies will be put off, it still is dealing with the whole person, the framework, the bone, in other words. And then he uses another frame here of marrow. So marrow is associated with bone. Now marrow is a very, very interesting part of us, absolutely essential. Your marrow is essential for your blood cells to be produced each day. Did you know that about 500 billion blood cells are produced each day in your body? The blood. And what is the blood? The life of you. There you are. So this is all about you, the whole person, the blood, the life, everything. That's the whole entire work he's doing in you and I with this sword, with this word into our lives, in the inward man. A complete work. And so you see, that is why we hear by the anointing. And we can only hear by the anointing by being a new creation. I could talk this now, and you could have a hall filled, and probably half most, what's he on about? What is this man talking about? He's completely off his head. And that's what they'd be thinking. That's what Lon said. Well, Lon would just get up and walk out. And probably we did that once. So we know we have to be touched, we have to be changed. It is that new nature that we put on. And that is why we witness to the Word of God. That is absolutely essential for a body, a church, to meet, to come together, to continue and to go on, is the witness of the Word of God. You have no basis of fellowship otherwise, because that is how he speaks to us. That is how he deals with us. God could speak from heaven if he wanted to, but he has chosen the mouthpiece. He has chosen the written word of God in which to bring us together to be changed. This is why so many don't understand this. They only see this as some book written by men. And it's what you hear them say. You know, well, it's an interpretation of Scripture, isn't it? You know, I've heard that, I've had that thrown at me many times. It's an interpretation of Scripture, and you don't know whether you've got it right. I say, it's not about me. There is only one that it can interpret, the Word of God, the one who wrote it through the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who teaches us. What do you mean by that? They don't understand. See? You've got them. Because it bypasses their intellectualism, their thinking how the Bible is. And it's a book that's compiled together by different writers and so forth. And, you know, obviously they were influenced. But it came to the mere intellect. God, yes, used the intellect, but he used that to breathe through them his word, that they were inspired, moved to write. Now, it doesn't mean to say that it was auto-writing where suddenly a spirit takes over. No, That's a demon does that. But they were moved by the Spirit to write, inspired. You need to be a preacher and teacher to slightly understand that one. You're being moved by the Spirit to speak it out, you see, until you find there's nothing more to say. You've done, you've said what needs to be said. This is why preachers and teachers need to learn when to stop. And a lot of them don't. They start going on and on and on, oh, well, I better say a bit more here and everything, and they've missed it. They have moved God's people where they can no longer listen anymore because they're going out of the will and moving of the Holy Spirit. You see? This is why you have to be prayed up. This is why you have to allow God to work through you as a preacher and teaching. And these only things can come from the Lord. But you've got to know when to stop. That is the point. I don't think I'm going on for 4 hours today, so you'll be all right. Well, he might do, but it's being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is sovereign in our meeting. This is why he can be offended, he can be blasphemed, and so on. We are utterly, completely dependent on him as he ministers and speaks to us. So there we are. This sword, the word of God. You've got these wonderful analogies here. God never gets it wrong. You know, when you go deeper into it, you begin to see why he uses such words. And so he says that this is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Because that is what influences us. We are influenced by a changed mind, and when the mind is changed, the heart is changed. When the heart is changed, the mind is changed. Because you can't separate them in that sense. They work together. Because the brain has the main influence over the whole body. Your heart beats because of your brain. And yet you've got to take it into the brain to assess it, for the heart to understand it. So you can't separate any of this. And that's what it does. You see? And so this is why when we think, ah, now I understand. Oh, yes, I see now. Praise God, I believe. You know, and you know you believe. You know it's there. And nothing can change that. There's the rest that we are to have by faith, that Hebrews speaks about. So every area you come through in believing, there's always that rest that is attached to it. No more trying to believe, trying to act your faith, whatever it is. It is a rest. It's happening. Faith is like breathing, functioning. You either have got it or you haven't. You're either believing for that healing or you ain't. There's no hit and miss. And we've all tried it in the past. We've got to really understand this and learn this. This is how Jesus walked. He never questioned the day that he faced. He never questioned who would be coming along his path. He never questioned what experience or situation he encountered. That was his walk of faith. He never thought it strange when somebody comes and anoints him with oil, which most thought that was not only offensive, a harlot, and anointing him, he wasn't offended because he was walking by faith. He knew that was the will of God, and the will of God was going to reveal the deeper meaning of it all. He was completely at rest with God's will. Now, as I end now, and I will, do you believe that for your life, your walk?
Yes.
If God did it for Jesus, can and will he do it for you?
Yes.
It is what you want. I can't do that for you. I can only present it. But that is the goal. And God is doing that, and an end time army of saints will walk in that realm. And we are on the way for this. How do I know it? Because the enemy is fighting like mad. And where is he fighting mostly? In your mind, your thinking. That's where he's attacking. He's trying to deviate. He's trying to get you to look away from the Word of God that is feeding your faith, my faith. So it's a good giveaway, isn't it? Praise God. So it's a discerner of the intents of the heart. 1 Corinthians 14:24 to end with. And this, of course, in Romans 10:17, this is why we often cite it. Faith comes by hearing. It's mainly hearing the Word of God. And that's what it does. That's really stating all what I've been talking about here today. Romans 14, verse 24, 25. I'm so sorry. 1 Corinthians 14, 24, 25. 1 Corinthians 14, 24, 25. Sorry about that. But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all. He is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. So a discerner of the intents of the heart. The heart has been exposed by that unbeliever through the Word of God, through prophecy. There is an indication of what is meant by this. So they fall down and receive Christ as Lord and Saviour. This is why the gifts in the church are powerful. Now, how our situations are going to change? You know, are we going to get unbelievers come in or some? We don't know. We don't know what the future is. We don't know next week if we still hear how our meetings are going to change. We may find that God suddenly starts adding huge amounts start coming in. I'm prepared, ready for anything that can change. You know, we're so used, aren't we, to meetings like this, but they may not be like this. These may well change. And are we ready to move in accordance with that? That's the question. And the Holy Spirit will be so powerful amongst the believers that people will do two things. They'll either stay or run out. But here we see they can fall on their face because the Word is exposed, has gone into the heart. That sword is pierced. And what must I do to be saved? And then the church, the people, lead them to that confession of Christ and so on. There's the idea of it. So that's what God is doing. That is what you listen to each week. That is the work that God is doing in and through you. And it's wonderful, isn't it, when we open up the Word and we begin to get some insights as to how God is doing this in and through us. You know, these things have always fascinated me, you know. And it's all there in Scripture if we want to see. Praise God.
Let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.